Welcome to the morning worship service, Grace Baptist Church. We have a theme here in the hymns. Theme of the message has to do with blindness. We're going to see that Israel as a nation was blessed with sight as no other nation in history. Then the tables are turned and they're overcome with blindness. So it brings up the topic of blindness. Testimony of any true born-again person is going to include, once you were blind, and now you see. So please be thinking of that as we sing these. All these hymns have to do with that topic that we're going to be singing. Amazing Grace, of course. Once I was blind, but now I see. Maybe you noticed it in the Charles Wesley hymn, And Can It Be? The fourth verse says, long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eyes diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Can you think of what you were blind to before you were saved? Then what your eyes were open to at salvation? And by the way, one way we pray for each other as a church is that our eyes be more and more enlightened concerning the love of God and our inheritance and power and many other very important topics. So we'll watch for that theme of blindness and sight. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. We find ourselves today in verse 25. Remind you that the first 8 verses are doctrine, the most thorough presentation of the gospel. Then we have an interlude of 3 chapters, chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans, explaining how the Jew fits into the gospel plan. We're about done with chapter 11. We get on to chapter 12. And from there to the end of the letter, we have an explanation of how then we should live, a very practical explanation. Would you please stand with me? We're going to read just one verse, Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Let's pray. Our Father, we believe that thy word is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that can pierce through the dividing asunder of our souls and spirits. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We pray that thy Holy Spirit would take thy word and do a great work in our hearts. To thee, O Lord, do we lift up our souls. Into thy hands we commend our spirits. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Pray that the Lord who made us, who sustains us, who shall judge us, will now be merciful upon us. Help us to see who we are and what we should be. And the great opportunity that is availed to us, the very power that raised Christ from the dead, now availed to us, that we might be transformed from glory to glory into the image, the very image of Jesus Christ, the very mind of Christ being in us. Lead us, Father, to have great joy and fellowship with thee, to love each other as we should, and to love thee with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, that we might love the lost, love the gospel, and that these few days that we have before the Lord Jesus returns, whatever that might be, or before we go home to eternity, we ask that we would consider our days. So teach us to number our days, and we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. These things we ask in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. The topic today is the mystery of blindness. We read in Romans 11:25 that blindness is happened to Israel. It's a mystery. Mystery is a technical term in the scriptures. It's a theological term. It has to do with a great truth only in the mind of God and to those to whom he has chosen to reveal it. He's made the church to be stewards of mysteries in this age. And here is a one. Blindness has happened to the nation of Israel. The Greek word there is porosis, P-O-R-O-S-I-S. Most literally, it means a hardening, to make callous. By extension, applied to the heart or the mind, one with this condition has a mental dullness. Today's vernacular, thick-headed. Stupidity, lacking the faculty of discernment. Destitute of spiritual light, unable to understand, unable to judge, ignorant as a day is long, blind. That's what this word means. That's what has come across the nation of Israel in part. Here the term is used to describe the spiritual condition of a nation. It is a condition that has happened to Israel, superintended by God for a certain time and until a certain purpose is accomplished, and that is when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That topic we've covered, we may cover it again, but we're going to single in on one concept here, this mystery of blindness. Blindness has come upon the nation of Israel. I think our first observation is, here is an instruction on the broad capability of man. What a turnaround. What a reverse. What a betrayal of a heritage. For if ever a nation had a history of sight, seeing things that other people didn't see, it was Israel. And now they, who saw all these things that other peoples didn't see, now they are blind. I mean, think about it in the history, the patriarchs and on, the remarkable enlightenments, the things that the Jew was given ability to see that other peoples did not. You would turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We have many illustrations there. One would be, of course, Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, Abraham saw a city whose foundations, builder and maker is God. He saw a city. That is, he could see that there would be a heavenly Jerusalem, an eternal dwelling, better not to be compared with anything temporal in this barren desert through which he was a sojourner. Here we read in verse 14 of Hebrews 13. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Abraham saw it. He was willing to live in a tent all that time because he had his eyes on a city that God showed him would occur. John speaks of it in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2. John says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Abraham saw that city. We go back to Hebrews 11 and you look at Isaac. Verse 20 of Hebrews 11, Isaac saw a covenant. He blessed his sons. Jacob being the son in the line of patriarchal blessing, and acknowledge that this blessing would stick and hold and continue through the bloodline. It's patriarchal blessing through whom all the world would be blessed. Isaac saw the covenant that was given first to his father. Jacob saw a ladder. Abraham a city, Isaac a covenant, Jacob a ladder, reaching unto heaven with angels, ascending and descending. Even as Jesus told Nathanael that he would see that upon the Son of Man. And the message there was access to God. Heavenly servants ministering to the needs of God's people. Jacob, the patriarch, was shown that though alone and friendless on earth, his interests were busying all heaven. He saw the ladder. Joseph, among the many things he saw, Hebrews 11:22, he saw his people's full possession of the promised land. Even though now they were going to be away from that land for hundreds of years, God showed him his people had full possession of the promised land with all the blessings therewith, so that he ordered his bones to be buried there. Hebrews 11:23. Moses' parents saw something in the uncommon beauty of their newborn son, so that they were under the impression of a divine destiny to some important service in life. They saw he was a proper child, so they were not afraid to hide him. The idea is there, they saw in that child a divine destiny. Abraham, a city. Isaac, a covenant. Jacob saw a ladder. Joseph saw the possession of promised land. Moses' parents saw a divine destiny. Moses, Hebrews 11:26. Moses saw the exceedingly greater value of heaven over any riches and pleasures this life can offer. He saw it. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So he chose rather to suffer affliction for a season with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. I'm telling you, Israel has a history. Follow it through one after the other, seeing things which other peoples did not. Joshua saw the pre-incarnate Christ as the captain of the Lord hosts, standing with his sword in his hand, there to lead his people in the coming strife with Jericho and all Canaan, to victory over them and all they represent. Elijah saw a chariot, horses of fire, in a whirlwind to take him home to glory. Elisha saw a mountain full of horses and chariots of fire round about him to protect him from his enemies. Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Jeremiah saw God's hand touch Jeremiah's mouth and place God's words into his mouth. Ezekiel saw a cherubim flashing across the sky doing God's service, representing God's authority. He saw a wheel and a wheel full of eyes, eyes representing the knowledge of God, wheel meaning it's infinite. Daniel saw the very dreams of his pagan authorities. And on we could go through all the Old Testament. Israel is known for seeing what other eyes are blind to. Now the tables are reversed. Last Old Testament prophet, in my estimation, was John the Baptist, who saw the very Holy Spirit of God descend in bodily form like a dove onto Jesus Christ and there abide. Oh my, what a rich heritage the Jews have of seeing the things of God. They saw eternal dwelling. They saw a covenant of blessing. They saw heaven-sent servants. They saw the possession of the promised land. They saw divine destiny. They saw riches to come, victory in battle, transport to heaven, protection from enemies, the Lord upon his throne, the power of the Word of God, the omniscience of God, dreams in the heart of man, and the unique spiritual life of Jesus Christ. We have that summary statement in Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Were persuaded of them and embraced them. Confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's who Israel is. The seeing people, the heritage of seeing the unseen, being persuaded of them and embracing them. Yet we're told in Romans 11 and verse 25 the sad news that blindness has now come to Israel. Sad reversal. I was reading this week about a Tibetan monk known for his insight, went for whatever reason Tibetan monks might do this, into a dark cave and stayed there for 6 years. Came out, apparently over the progress of time, being exposed only to darkness, his eyes atrophied, he came out stone blind. Couldn't see. Here comes Israel, out of the cave, so to speak, and whatever has happened in this transition, stone blind. Upon them, a mystery blindness has come across, not just any of people, but the Israelites. Not that it wasn't prophesied. We already saw here in Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, likewise cites that this blindness, no surprise here, prophesied so many hundreds of years before the time of Christ. Matthew 13 and verse 14, he says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. John chapter 1. You read the amazement of John. I mean, just think on this. What does this mean? He says to us. Verse 5 of John chapter 1. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 9. Jesus was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh, the mystery of blindness, hardening, callousness, obtuseness of spiritual discernment, dullness, stupidity, not having the faculty of perception, destitute of spiritual light. Unable to understand, unable to judge, ignorance. Such a horrible, horrible phenomenon, spiritual blindness. God can be right next to you, don't see him. God can be speaking, don't hear. Look what God's doing here, don't see a thing. I just don't see it. I'd like to share with you three practical lessons to learn about this blindness. The first is, this blindness about which we speak is spiritual. Spiritual. The blindness we're talking about here is not a matter of raw intellect. Einsteins and Churchills and science guys and professors all may be brilliant intellectually, but dumb as rocks in spiritual understanding. Yea, perverse in spiritual understanding. Call darkness light, call sweet bitter, call good evil. You're familiar with 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. When it says receiveth not, it means he will not admit them into his heart. Stop. Don't come in. He blocks them off. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Notice that the verb is not they may be perceived as foolishness unto them, or they don't know, but don't trust that they are. Noah says they've already made their decision. The things of the Spirit of God are foolishness. That's their decision. That's their conclusion. It's like Jesus doing these miracles and raising people from the dead and having no sin, no guile, mouth. And the final conclusion of some of the aristocracy and the leadership there, the Jews, was he's of the devil. What do you do with that? They will not admit any of this to come in. They've come to their decision already. The natural man receiveth not the things of the spiritual God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them. They're helpless. Helpless to gather the knowledge, because these truths are spiritually discerned. Brilliant intellectually, dumb as rocks spiritually. Side by side. That's a phenomenon everywhere. And so I'm saying the first lesson is that this blindness is spiritual. It's a matter, not a matter of raw intellect. It's a matter of spiritual discernment. Allow me to build farther on that point by noting the demonic world is involved. It's spirit for that reason. The demonic world causes blindness. We would go to, of course, 2 Corinthians 4:4. There we read, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded," there's our word, "the minds of them that believe not." See, they've already chosen not to believe. So Satan is given power to blind their thoughts. And he had the most idiotic, inconsistent, unperceiving expressions coming out of these minds that have been blinded to rational, biblical, spiritual truth. "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." That expression there says, lest the light of the essence, the effulgence, the brilliance of God, you got a flash of light coming unto them with an intensity beyond what we have ever experienced. And they go, don't see a thing. Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. This is spiritual. Spiritual perception. It's malaffected by the demonic world. And God himself has his part in their imperception. Romans 11 verse 8. We read there that God hath given them the spirit of slumber. Eyes that should not see. And ears they should not hear unto this day. But God's involved. It's a spiritual thing. Even as the Spirit of God gives spiritual sight. Acts chapter 16, 14. A certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart, what? The Lord opened. It's a spiritual issue. The Lord opened her heart like a flower opening up. 1 Corinthians 12:3 tells us no man can say that Jesus is Lord but what? By the Holy Ghost. Matthew 16, 16 and 17. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Spiritual understanding is a gift from God. So we're not saying that the people of a certain nation just didn't measure up in IQ or in the study of books or in practical. None of that. We're saying it's a spiritual blindness. It's a mysterious thing. Side by side, you can have brilliance and idiocy. So the blindness we're talking about is spiritual. Secondly, this blindness is judicial. Let's return to what we studied in Romans 11, verses 8 through 10. We're saying spiritual blindness is a judicial thing. It's a judgment against a certain people by God. Romans 11, 8 through 10, it's actually a re-quoting of Psalm 69, 22 and 23. Romans chapter 11, verse 8, according as it is written in Psalm 69, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Happened some centuries before, carrying on to the time that Paul writes this, unto the day he writes it, carrying on to millennia, on through to today. Explain. Well, David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Fourfold curse related to them stumbling over the blessings God has given them. God has given the Jew responsibility for the law of God, for the sacrificial system, for providing in time a Savior for the world. And rather than this humbling them, it became a source of pride where they are better than the people round about. It became a stumbling block to them. And so they became blind. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see. And bow down their back, oh, that is in slavery. Bow them down in slavery. If they will not use their spiritual eyes to see truth, then let it be a judgment upon them and the eyes atrophy and they cannot see. It's a judgment. Please turn to the familiar passage in Romans chapter 1. We go back there because it really is the foundational truth, not just to understand the gospel, but really to understand all the scriptures and understand life. What happened to the human race? How did this blindness come upon a people? Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Hold it back. Suppress it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, what's the preposition? In them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's outside of them, even as eternal power and God said, so that they are without excuse. We've looked at that verb manifest there, shown. The idea is light, like you had these projectors all around your soul, presenting images on this wall and that wall and here and there, all inside, and yet they could not see any of it. And then I look outside. Things that are made implies there is a maker. That's not too hard to follow that logic. And you learn much about the maker by the thing that is made. His eternality, his wisdom, his power, it's all there. But they shut down the revelation. They repressed it. They held the truth in unrighteousness. They wanted to do sin. So that they are without excuse. We go on to verse 21 of Romans 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. See the deterioration. See the degeneration. I have a certain measure of revelation. I resist it. I have this truth sounding itself in me and out of me. I clamp it down. I shut it off. I choose blindness because I choose unrighteousness. So professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If you don't have God as your creator, then how did all this stuff happen? Well, if nobody made it, then the idiotic interpretation is leave nothing alone long enough and it becomes everything. That's what they're left with. Nothing made everything. Here we have something as simple as a styrofoam cup. Now we don't have it. But if you just wait long enough, it might take 2 years, might take 2 centuries, might take, throw in 100 million years, but somehow, poof, now we have one. Who made that? Nobody made that. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now when you reject there being a God, there being a maker, you're rejecting there being a system of absolute values. And rejecting that there is one whose judgment you one day will face. And you're giving yourself over to deeper and deeper blindness as you move farther and farther away from God. And so we had a familiar text in verses 24, 26, and 28. 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That means things are turned inside out, inverted, upside down, just the opposite read of what would be sensible for a human soul to make. To do those things which are not fitting for human beings to do. I'm telling you, this blindness is judicial as well as spiritual. And thirdly and finally, it is monumental. Spiritual, judicial, monumental. I mean, what we cannot see is what is important, right? The things that change our lives, the things that capture us and make us different from the rest of humanity is what we don't see. All the things that are important, don't see. Don't see heaven. Never seen hell. Don't see devils. Don't see God. Don't see souls. Don't see angels. 2 Corinthians 4:18 describes who we are as a people, as believers. 2 Corinthians 4:18. We look not at the things which are seen. They don't capture our attention. Not that car, not that farm, not this sunset. They don't capture us. We don't look for those things. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's go to another familiar text, 2 Peter chapter 2. I had a chance to speak before a mission this week, almost a week ago. I gave my testimony what changed the direction of my life. It's this verse we're about to read now. Everything changed. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Partly what Abraham saw. That's partly what Moses saw. It's all going to go. Seeing then, comprehending this, acknowledging this reality, that all these things shall be dissolved, loosed, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Look over the landscape. Look at the familiar homes. Look at what makes comfort for those who live around here, and I'll see it all vanish. What manner of person ought you to be seeing this? I tell you, this issue of blindness is monumental. When our eyes are open to the unseen, everything changes. And that is why Jesus came, to open blind eyes. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. Israel might say, once I could see and now I'm blind. Christian says, once I was blind, now I see. You go to Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. And there you have the Lord's mission to Paul. And through Paul to all disciples of Christ. Acts 26, 18. I send you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I send you, open their eyes. Here's our burden for the world. refusal to receive the inner and the outward revelation about our Creator leads people to an alternative interpretation of life that lacks unchanging values and ignores judgment to come. And when a people has gone to that, where there is no absolute right or wrong, create your rules, live, don't nobody get in other people's ways, what they resent is a people who would place restrictions upon them. In time, all stabilizing values disintegrate. Definition of marriage, definition of family, definition of life. When all restrictions are resented in time, all stabilizing values disintegrate. And the effects of sin, which in itself is awful, and demonic involvement, and then God's removal, it all multiplies. You find a people in the indecipherable chaos, a violent emerging, the ignorance, inability to function, things fall apart, and the end comes. Our war is against blindness. To cause the blind to see, they'll have the Holy Spirit cause the blind to see. And for those who see, to see more. See, all that the patriarchs saw, so we. As Abraham, we are to see an eternal dwelling. As Isaac, we are to see a covenant of blessing. As Jacob, we are to see heaven-sent servants. We are to see the possession of the promised land. We are to see divine destiny, riches to come, victory in battle, transport to heaven, protection from enemies, the Lord high and lifted up on His throne, the power of God's Word, the omniscience of God, dreams in the heart of man, and the unique spiritual life of Jesus Christ. May we pray. Oh Lord, we know a man can be blind and walk right on the edge of a great abyss and have threatenings and troubles all about his life and be ignorant of their cause, nor their resolution. And people who come to Christ and their eyes are open, even so much more need for more understanding. We see a nation that did see once and now cannot see. And we see the baton has been passed to us to see and to declare. Oh, that you would open the eyes of our understanding that we might know what is the hope of thy calling, what the riches of the glory of thine inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of thy power to us who believe, and that you would cause us to understand the depth and height and breadth and length and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And Lord, there may be people here today yet blind until this moment, up to now, blind as to their need to receive the Savior. May this be the day they come to Christ. Once I was blind would be the confession. Now I see. I see I have an eternal soul. I see that I have sinned against a holy God. I see that the wages of that sin is death. I understand and I see now that Christ died for my sins. I receive him as my Savior. I would just ask, as all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and just, is that speaking to your heart? If it is, if there's a soul here who sees and understands and must now come to Christ, just raise your hand and lower it. Come now. I believe Christ died for my sins. I haven't known how to appropriate it before, but I see now I need to and I want to. It's time to make peace with God. All my sins placed on a substitute, judged in the substitute, by faith applied to my account. Do you believe this? Would you come to Christ today? Oh Lord, have thy way. The times are urgent. Open our eyes all the more. Cause us to behold wondrous things out of thy law. In Christ's name, amen.